The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, before I say anything, first of all, I want to thank God and give God all the glory for the grace to be standing here before great men and women of God seated here. I also appreciate the grace of God upon the set man of God of this ministry. Please, if you are clapping, please, you can clap better. I appreciate the grace upon his life. And also, I appreciate the grace upon our ever beautiful mama in the house. I give God all the glory for their lives. I appreciate every pastor seated here this evening, every minister, every HOD, every worker, every cell leader, and every member seated here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And please, pardon me if I'm a little bit shaky, because it's not easy to stand here. Hallelujah. Well, our topic this evening is your tongue and your advancement. Your tongue and your advancement. Your tongue and your advancement. Now, your tongue is a very important part of your body, because your tongue, to a very large extent, determines if you are going to move forward in life or remain at a particular spot in life. We can open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Right, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, what that means is that if you are going to live, it depends on your tongue. And if you're not going to live, it also depends on your tongue. Now, as Christians, we are meant to live a glorious life. What that means is that God never created us to come and suffer in this world. It means as Christians, we are meant to always move forward in life. We are meant to always advance in life. Yes, that is our destiny. We are supposed to advance. But that destiny is not automatic. Just because you are a child of God doesn't mean that I should just sit down at home and just be looking, and everything will begin to work out fine. No. Yes, it is your destiny, but you also have to speak it. You have to say it. Yes, I am going forward. Then you begin to move forward. Don't say, the Bible already said I will go forward, so I don't need to do anything. I just need to sit down and I'll just begin to move forward. No. You still have to speak. You still have to speak. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, that God already knows what is thinking towards us. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, that God already knows what is thinking towards us. Now he says, now these are the words, okay, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What that means is that there's an expected end for a child of God, but you have to use your tongue to get to that expected end. This expected end is not automatic. With your tongue, you can get to that expected end. And with that same tongue, you might not get to that expected end. So it depends on the choice that you make. You either choose to use your tongue because there's a power in the tongue. The tongue can either make you to choose life or to choose death. If you choose life, then you are getting to the expected end. But when you choose death, you do not get to the expected end. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now remember that we just read that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, this pattern that we should choose, that you can either choose life or death. What are we going to choose, that life or death, is our tongue. You can either choose life or death. You can choose blessing or cursing. You know, the Bible says, it says that you should choose. It never said that there is life and there is death. There is blessing and cursing. But don't worry, as a Christian, it's automatic. Blessing and life is already for you. He never said that. He said there is life and there is death. There is blessing and there is curse. But please choose life. That is just an advice. It means somebody else can say, no, I don't like life. I like to choose death. Or somebody can say, no, I don't like blessing. I like to choose curse. It's all your choice. But this part, just advising you that, please, it is very, very essential that you choose life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this means that the word that we speak out is transgenerational. Because it says that, so that both you and your seed may live. That is, after you have chosen life, both your seed, yourself and your seed will do what? Will live. So it means that the words that come out of your mouth are transgenerational. The words that come out of your mouth is a weapon. Your tongue is a weapon. And that tongue is a transgenerational weapon. At least to this present day, I'm not sure that any scientist has produced any transnational weapon, whereby you would just set the weapon and say, okay, this weapon, can you see this man? Kill him now. Then his grandchildren, once they give birth to your children, just be killing them automatically. No, it's not possible. But your tongue can do that. That's what happened to Gehazi when he was cursed. He said, you and your family, take this. And his generation was receiving that. There is no man-made weapon that can do that. But the tongue can do that. Now, the tongue is a weapon. But there is a challenge. This weapon can either work for us or work against us. It depends on what we want. It depends on what we want. Now, it can work for us in that with your words, you can destroy your enemies and say, enemies, I bind you, and they are destroyed. With your words, you can gain divine health. With your words, you can gain so many things. That way, your tongue is working for you. But also, with your tongue, you can destroy yourself. As we are going to be seeing very soon, some examples of people that actually destroy themselves with their tongue. Now, the tongue, like I've said, has positive uses, but it also has negative uses. Now we're going to be looking at the two aspects. We're going to be looking at both the positive uses and the negative uses. Why? We look at the positive uses so that we learn how to use our tongue. We look at the negative uses so that we learn how not to use our tongues. And I pray that the Lord will minister to us in Jesus' name. Now we're going to be starting with the positive uses of our tongue. That is, in what positive ways can we, as children of God, use our tongue? Now the first thing that our tongue can bring for us is peace. Via our tongue, we can get peace. Our tongue brings about peace. And we can see this example in the story of Abigail. Abigail and David. That story can be found in 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Well, I'm not going to read your story, I'll just paraphrase. Then the aspect that I want us to read, read that together. Now, in that story, Abigail was married to Nabal. And this man was very, very rich. He had many sheep, many animals, and he was blessed. And there came a time that he wanted to share his sheep. Let me just put it in layman's terms. Maybe he had a farm and he wanted to harvest. Let me just put it that way. He wanted to harvest his product. And as he was harvesting, David heard that this man is harvesting his product. And he gathered his men and said, "Please, go to this man and tell him that when your people..." Maybe we should read that. Let me just locate the part so that we'll read that together. Please, can we go to verse 3? Okay. Okay, can I just take verse 10. Okay, just leave it here. Just leave it here. Alright, so now what happened was that when David now told his servant, "Please go to this man and tell him that when his servants were with us, we took good care of them. We didn't steal from them. They had no issue with us. Everything went smoothly with us. Please, anything that you have, give to us." I know it's very amazing that they said anything. They didn't say, "Make sure you must give us 10 million now because we took care of a servant. You must give us." They said, "Anything you have, give to us." But look at what the man said, because he was using his tongue in the wrong way. He said, "And Nabal answered David's servant and said, 'Who is David?'" That is, he looked at them with disdain and said, "David, who is that David that sent you? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master.'" Verse 11. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" That is, he was saying that, "Who is David? Who are you? I'm very sorry. I cannot waste my bread and my money to peasants like you who I don't know. Please, before I close my eyes and open my eyes, please get out of my sight now." And they went back. And you know, those David's servants, exactly as the man told them, that's what they told David. As they go, they said, "David, the man said that, who is David?" And you know, as they said that, David's head was banging. Yeah. And you know, to make matters worse, they're not asking that, "The son of Jesse." I know him, but I say, "What? You even called my father with it." So David said that, "Wow, men, gather your swords. Let's go. We are going to destroy this man and his family. Not just the man alone. The man and his family." Now take note that the reason why destruction is coming to him was because he used his tongue in a wrong way. That is, with his tongue, he brought destruction upon himself. Now, David was ready with his men moving. "Yes, let's go and kill that man and his family." Then, all of a sudden, news came to Abigail that, "Madam, some servants came from David and he told her what happened, that, and your husband told them to go, that who is David, the son of Jesse, who is he?" And as soon as Abigail heard this, she said, "What?" She just went into the storehouse. "Hello, hello, please, gather food, gather everything, gather money, let's go and meet them." And you know, she went there to meet David and give David these things. But it was not the giving of David these things that actually appeased David. It was the way she gave David those things. The words that she spoke towards David. I'm sure if she didn't give David anything, the way she even spoke, David would have said, "The way you are spoken, I'm not even going to get, don't worry, I don't need these things." So it's not about that offering that she gave to David. It was the way she presented herself, the way she spoke towards David. I think we can find that in... Okay, please, let's go down to verse 15. Please, I'm sorry, let me locate the... Alright, let's start from verse 18. Now in verse 18 it said, then Abigail made haste, that is, she hurried quickly, and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready, dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And then he said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. There was a reason why she didn't tell her husband. Because she knew that if her husband should just hear by mistake, what is going to happen in the house? Now, going to verse 19, verse 20, and it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by a covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed out of the pertained unto him, and he has recruited me evil for good. That David said that, so that means I wasted my time giving this man good, and he's paying me with evil. And when Abigail saw, verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and she fell before him. Now, can you see her steps? She first fell before him on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, upon me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. That she said, my Lord, please, she bowed down. That this blame, please put it on me. It is my fault. Now she said, and fell on his feet, and said, upon me, Lord, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I thine handmaid saw, let me stop there. But the point there is that she told him that, please, let this blame be on me, that don't mind that man. So I said that he is foolish, just like his name. That was what a version actually said. Now, she appeased David. Now you can see the way she spoke. I'm very sure that that is what appeased David first. Then when you ask, okay, yes, what do you have there? Then she said, okay, I have this. And then he took it and said, okay, I'm no more destroying this man just because of you. Now we can see that in that place, Abigail brought about peace by her tongue. There was going to be a war. Because definitely, by the time David gets to that palace, I'm not sure those men will just sit down and say, yeah, David, men, come and kill us. And there will be a war. That is, there will be a battle. But because of her wisdom and the words that came out of her mouth, she was able to ensure that there was peace. She was able to ensure that there was peace. So she was able to use her tongue in a positive way in that scenario. She was able to use her tongue in a positive way in that scenario. Also, Esther was also someone that used her tongue in a positive way. In Esther chapter 4 and chapter 7, but I'll just paraphrase. Now, Esther's people were about to be killed because of the plot of a man in the palace. And normally, she was not supposed to see the king. I'm sure we all know this story. But she met her people and she told them, please, fast, and I'll go to the king. And you know, they fasted and she went to the king, and nothing happened to her, and she spoke to the king. She told the king many things, and he said, please, the man that was plotting against our people was Naaman. And he said, please, I want us to have a dinner with Naaman. Call him, let's eat together. Naaman came the first time, they dined together. Next time, Naaman also came, they dined together. Now, what she was doing was that she was trying to make sure she was saying the right words towards the king. If she had just come and said, king, this Naaman man, can you imagine? He owes me, queen, he wants to kill my people. Please, kill him now. You know, the king would have said, what's wrong with this queen? Said, what's wrong with her? But you know, she took her time. And meanwhile, what she did was not making a man to brag. That was one of the things that made him to die. Because we're not saying that, I'm now the chosen one. Even now, I now have private dinner with the king. Even the queen even knows that I'm a special one. That is why she has arranged a special dinner within myself and the king. I know he was bragging. And it was because of that bragging that people that are waiting now say, yes, you are the one. And those people also pushed him to his what? To his death. If Esther had gone straight to the king, that might not have happened. But you know, she went gradually, taking her time, laying her case in the right manner. That was why, at the point when the king heard, it was Agatha. Oh, it is you, Abi. All right, please, let us hang this man. And that was how he was hanged. Now, the second use of the tongue, number two, the tongue can be used to procure life. We can find the story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's go to verse 23. Now, before we read verse 23, I want to paraphrase the story. The Shunammite man had a son. And to cut the long story short, the son died. I know it's very normal for the man to say, she has already seen that the son is dead. For her to shout, yay, mogbe o, egbami o, something like that. You know, she will be shouting, she ought to be complaining that, God, why have you done this? You know that this child, I spell, oh God, you are not good. How can you do this to me, God? But look at what she said. And he said, whereof wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. That is, she was going to meet the prophet to inform him that, prophet, please, my son is dead. I need you. You know? And as we were saying to her, today is Sabbath. I used to go and say, don't worry. It shall be well. Now, when she said this, I don't think her faith was boosted yet. She was still assuming that it shall be well. But as soon as she got to where the servant of God was, in verse 26, when she got to where the servant of God was, and the servant told Gehazi to go and meet her, and now look at what happened. Run now, I pray thee. That is, Elisha was telling Gehazi to go and meet her. He made Isaiah come. He said, Gehazi, go and meet that woman and ask her what she's looking for. Now, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with her husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, this time she didn't say it shall be well. She said, it is well. That it has already been solved. Now, let me tell you, the reason why her son came back to life is just because of this statement. She has already had that faith that it's already well. That is, she spoke positively. Her words were positive. She said, it is well. And on that statement alone, she got a miracle. On that statement alone, she got a miracle. Now, number three. The tongue establishes destiny. Now, you might be destined to be great in life, but you have to use your tongue in the right way to establish this destiny. And we can look at an example in the story of the Israelites. We can open our Bibles to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 verse 2. Now the children of Israelites, you know, God rescued them from the land of Egypt. And you know, God promised them that you people will get to the promised land. Now, normally, all of them ought to have been in the promised land. That was their destiny. They were supposed to, as they came out like that, all of them ought to have marched into the promised land, entered that promised land. But not all of them entered. Why? Because while some of them used their mouth to procure their destiny, yes, they are supposed to, but some still used their mouth to assess that destiny, and some used their mouth to destroy that destiny. Now look at this. Say, all children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. That is, they were saying, why did God even bring us out of this Egypt? That God should have not even left us there, that That is like when we enjoy in Egypt, that why did God bring us out? You know, and you are saying bad things. Say, oh God. That is, we are saying that God, we want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to go to that promised land again. Now let's go to verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Now can you see? They are proclaiming that they don't want to go to promised land. They want to go to Egypt. They don't want to go to the promised land. That was supposed to be their destiny, but they don't want to go. They say, no, God, that promised land, forget it first. Let's go back to Egypt. That is, they wanted to demote themselves. God said, people, I want to promote you. But they say, God, no, we don't like promotion. We want to be demoted back to where we are coming from. Now, let's open to verse 28. The same Numbers 14, verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as he has spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now God said, as you have spoken like this, that's what I will do. I know if I say, we want to go back, we want to do this, we want to do that. God said, as you have spoken, that is the way it will be. You know, many years ago, I was watching a movie, and it was a Yoruba movie. I know there was a man who was owing a woman money, and he didn't know that woman was a witch. So as soon as the man came, he told his wife, my wife, please, as that man come, they were speaking Yoruba anyway, so I can't speak Yoruba, so I'll just use English. So he told his wife that, please, as that man come, tell her that I am not at home. So he ran inside and he went to hide. So the man came, please, I'm looking for your husband. And the man said, my husband is not around. Are you sure your husband is not around? I'm hearing a sound at the back. And the man said, please don't mind what is there. It's a goat that is there. The man said, it's a goat. Okay. And the man said, the goat that is there will forever be there. And she went away. And the man went back to go and hug a fantastic husband only for her to meet a goat there. Now, the witch didn't do anything. She only says, she there is a goat there. Okay, as you have said it, that is the way it should happen. That is, the witch is not to blame in that instance. It's the wife that is to blame. Because it was the wife that confessed it. My husband is a goat. And the witch only affirmed it. That yes, you have said it. So be it. That was exactly what God did here. God said, you are saying that as you have said it, that is exactly the way it is going to be. Now let's go to verse 29. Numbers 14, verse 29. Numbers 14, verse 29. Okay, to verse 30. Now, doubtless, ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, the reason why these two guys were chosen to enter that land was because of what happened in Numbers 13. They were sent, 12 spies were sent to spy out the land and to come back and give reports. Now what happened? As they all came, the remaining 10 were saying, that land, there are many giants there. It is impossible. We can't do this. We can't do that. And you know what these two guys said? They said, let us go and take the land at once. That is, they had a positive thought. And they were speaking positively at all times. While others were speaking negatively, want to go back to Egypt, want to go back to Egypt, they were saying, please, let us march at once towards that land. That was why, while others were being demoted, they were being what? Promoted. All on the platform of what came out of their mouth. All on the platform of what came out of their mouth. Also, Esther became king because of what came out of her mouth. Now, quickly, let's move to Esther chapter 2. Esther 2, verse 12. We'll read from verse 12 to 15. Esther chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. Now, verse 12, it says, now, when every maid's turn was to come to go into the king, Ahasuerus, after that, she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification. Verse 13. The then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the woman unto the king's house. Verse 14. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shaghaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Verse 15. Now, when it was the turn of Esther, look at what Esther did. Who had taken her, his daughter? Now, look at what she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, told her. Now, listen. Not just require. Now, look at what happened. Those virgins, when they were staying in the chambers, they stayed there for 12 months. During that 12 months, they were putting them with perfumes, oil, and so on. Now, after the 12 months, each of them will go on a daily basis to go and see the king. Now, there's a criteria. You tell them, as you are going, take anything you want that you want. Anything you want to garnish your body, any makeup you want, any jewelry you want. And you know, I'm very sure that many of those virgins were saying, you know, they were speaking to those security men anyhow. Those guards, please. I want green lipstick on my upper lip. Then I want purple on my lower lip. I want 10 different eyebrows on my eye. I know they were picking different things, just telling those security men different things, and they were just looking. But when it came to Esther, there's a person that said, she just asked the man, what, you know, she was asking her, please, what do you think I should wear? She spoke it, please, what do you think? Anything that he said I should do, I will do. I know that man, being that he has been in the palace for a longer time, he should know what the king likes better. So he must have said, okay, wear this thing. If you wear this, the king will be more attracted. If you paint your eye this color, the king might like this. You know? So she also got that position. Yes, she had favor of God, but she also had to use her mouth. Assuming she had said, oh, everybody is wearing this thing. Okay, let me tell you. Hey, Bagad, come here. Please bring 2 bottles of eyebrow. Maybe she might not have gotten to that position. Now, in number 3 also, our tongue can give us long life. Our tongue can give us long life. Now, quickly, I'll be fast here. We all know the story of Ezekiah. Ezekiah was supposed to die. He was sick. And the prophet already sent word. God spoke to the prophet. Prophet, tell this guy he's going to die. But you know, when the prophet went, he went to God and he spoke. He used his tongue and he spoke. And he told God, God, please, I cannot die now. And God extended his life. Just because he spoke. If he had decided to keep quiet, let me bakamu that. Since God has said I will die, what do I want to do? Let me just go wait until I'm going to die. But you know, he still spoke. And because he spoke, he was able to access long life. Now, number 5. Also, the word that comes out of our mouth can also make us to be successful. That is, success is also something that the tongue can give to us. Success. 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 Now, the words coming out of your mouth determines if you are going to be successful or not. You may desire success, but if you permit your tongue to speak death, you cannot have anything but death. Let's open our Bibles to Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23. Now look at this. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he seeth shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he seeth. That is, what you can believe, and you speak it out, you will have whatsoever you have. You know, many times people say that they are not successful, that it is one witch in their village. But sometimes, the reason why they are not successful is because they are only experiencing what their mouth and what their tongue has professed. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing that our tongue can do for us is protection. Protection. Our words can give us protection. Our words can give us protection. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is, Your tongue is for binding and loosening. Binding your enemies and loosing yourself from every trap of the devil. Binding your enemies and loosing the trap. Using yourself from the trap of the enemies. So our tongue can procure for us protection. If we believe in the word and we speak it, then we are protected. Because nothing can come near us once we speak it. If the devil is coming, whether they are 200 or 500 or 5 billion, after the Bible never said that, when the devils are two, your powers will reduce. No. As long as they are devils, it doesn't matter. If they are 1 billion, all you need to do is just to speak. Hey, devil, stop there. And they will stop. And you say, reverse, and they will reverse. And you say, yeah, start fighting yourself. And they will start what? Fighting themselves. Because I already said, whatever you bind there, that's been binding them. So I say, all of you, I bind you now. They will just be bound. And when you are going through a particular situation and it's like, see, nothing's happening, once you say, this situation, I lose out of it now, what happens? You are loose. Because anything you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. Also, our tongue can bring about divine presence. Our tongue can bring about divine presence. God dwells with only the pure in heart and lips. When God's presence is with you, no mountain can withstand you. Now, let's open our Bibles to Psalms 15, verse 1 to 3. 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 Alright, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That is, they're asking. Who are those people that will be in God's presence? That is the question. Who are those people that will dwell in God's presence? That is the question. Now, this is the answer. In verse 2. What is the answer? The people that will dwell in God's presence are those people that walketh uprightly and walketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart. Verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now we have seen that part of the thing that you should not do, that you should not backbite, you should not say evil things. Now it means that our tongue goes a long way to determine if God's presence will be with us or God's presence will not be with us. Hallelujah. Quickly, we're looking at the negative use of the tongue. We've looked at seven uses and positive use of the tongue. Now I want to quickly rush down some negative use of the tongue. Now the first negative use of the tongue is strife. Strife. A wise man once said, 90% of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. By the wrong tone of voice. You know, many times I've been in a cab. I know somebody just stops the cab and wants to enter and say, maybe say challenge. And the man said, 100 naira. And the man looked at 100 naira. Shake up 50 naira. You know? And the taxi will look at him. Kogbao. And then the man will just close the door and the man will go. But in that same location, he might meet somebody else. And the man said, how much? He said, 100 naira. And the man got him, Baba Ejo. Shake egg, 20 naira. And you know, the taxi might just look at him and say, ah, oh yeah, wole, wole. Now, the difference between those two people is in the way they've spoken. One spoke with a very harsh tone, she baptinani, like as if he's the owner of the taxi. But the other person spoke with humility and said, hey, Josh, she egba. And you know, the man will allow. But I'm not saying that we should go and price taxi 20. 20 naira. Now, that is the first. Now, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That is, two people can say the same thing, but it means different things when they say it. It all depends on the way you say it. The way some people say some things make it have a different meaning. Hallelujah. Alright, number two, the tongue destroys destiny. The tongue destroys destiny. The tongue destroys destiny. We've already seen what happened to the children of Israelites. Their destiny was destroyed because of what came out of their mouth. And as soon as it came out, God stamped it. It was not God that said it. You say it, God stamps it. That was why their destiny was destroyed. You say it, God stamps it. Now look at the story of Esau and Jacob. Yes, we say Esau lost his destiny because of that pottage, or is it porridge or pottage? But that was not really what made him lose his destiny. It was because he said it. He told Jacob that, Jacob said, I swear, my birthright is now yours. He had to speak it. And you know, Jacob was very wise. He knew the power of what? He knew the power of the tongue. And he used that against him. I'm wondering why didn't he just tell Esau, oh yeah, Esau, let's sign a contract. Sign here. I will write now. Henceforth, I am the senior. Then sign here. So that when it is time for Father to bless us, once we show him this written document, he will know that I am now the senior. Then he will bless me. No, he made Esau speak it. And when Esau spoke it, God already stamped it. So there was nothing Esau would do in this life that would have made him get that birthright. Even if he came early enough with that animal that he went to get from the farm, something would have still happened that would have made him not to get that birthright. Why? Because he spoke it that, Jacob, take it, I've given you. He had already spoke it. And that was why he had already spoken it. And that was how his destiny was destroyed. Also, our tongue can procure death. Remember, these are the negative uses of the tongue. The things that we should not use our tongue to do. It procures death. The story of Ananias and Sapphira, what led to their death was because of what they spoke. They were supposed to sell their land and give the money to the church. What happened? They sold the land. Let's say they sold the land for 10 naira. And they came to Paul and said, Paul, honestly, we sold that land for 7 naira. And this is the money. I know, and Paul said, why are you lying? I know, Paul asked them for anything. But this land is your land now. Before you sold this land, it was yours. When you sold the land, this money was still with you. It's not as if we brought gun to you and say, you must bring this money now. You decided to bring this money yourself. Why then do you not have to lie that, I sold this land for 10 naira, whereas it was not 10 naira that you sold it. Why did you have to lie? And for that reason, he was killed. He died instantly, as Paul told him, died. Now, luckily for his wife, his wife was not there. I said she was lucky because she was not there when that was happening. But Paul now went to his wife and said, Yahweh, what happened? Now, this hour, you know that this husband and wife, they are birds of the same feather. The wife said the same thing that, honestly, that was the amount that we sold it. And Paul said, you too. She too, she did what? She died. All because of what they spoke. All they had to do was say, this is the amount. They didn't force them to give that money. Even if they had told Paul, we sold this thing for 1,000 naira, but please, we need 300, we'll give you 700. I'm telling you, there might have been no issue, but they just had to lie. Hallelujah. Also, it can lead to hell. What comes out of our mouth can lead to hell. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers and writers, and all liars. That's what I'm after. All liars. That is when you speak out lie from your mouth, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, words from our mouth can lead us to hell. Also, number five, it can lead others to sin. What from our mouth can lead others to sin? What from our mouth can lead others to sin? You know, recently I started working in an organization, and my coordinator told me something that, as you are here, just do what is right. Because there are some people that will tell you, once they tell you go and talk, they'll say, why are they giving all this thing now? This thing is too ethical. I'm not sure we can finish this thing. But on the day of submission, you'll be surprised that those people that were saying that this thing is too ethic, they have already submitted. Now, if you had followed them, let me follow them, say they can't do it, me too, I will not do it, you will not look like the bad person. Now, those kind of people, they are leading others to sin. But they are not saying, this thing is too bad now. Why are we not going to do it? And she gave me an example that just the day before, they told them to do something. And many of them were complaining that, it's not possible. Today and tomorrow is not possible. That she was surprised when she got to work that morning. Those same people are already submitted by 7 a.m. They already submitted that same thing. I know she was not wondering that, as if she had followed the mouth of these people, she would have found herself in deep soup. That's another use of the mouth. Now, also, apart from leading others to sin, our mouth can also lead us to sin. You know, the words of our mouth matter to God, and we should guide it. Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Now, man might look at the way you comport yourself, but God is after your heart, and it is from the heart that words come out from. So God is after what you speak and after what you say. Hallelujah. Now, conclusively, we must realize that our words are seeds. Our words are seeds. And whatever we sow, we shall reap. That is, every morning you wake up, you are saying, what kind of economy is this? Am I going to make it at all? That is exactly what you will reap. But you wake up every morning, and instead of saying negative things, you are just claiming all the blessings that God has already written for you in the Bible. God, I thank you for another day. It is well with me. As I go out, I'm meeting blessings. I'm meeting good news. You know, you might not meet good news that day, but it's a seed. We are planting it. And very soon, that seed is going to harvest. Now, if indeed we want to reap advancement this year, we should speak advancement. If you want to reap advancement this year, you have to speak advancement. Now, as we go about our daily activities after this just concluded 12 days of empowerment, we should try as much as possible to speak the right words that edify. And I pray that as we do so, that God will help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878. Or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.